God sent you somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Stand when you find it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The book of Deuteronomy has been the biggest surprise slash blessing for me personally. I don't know, in recent time. I've read through the Bible several times, so I look forward to certain things when I know we're getting to it, because in my just personal Bible reading, I just remember enjoying certain sections, perhaps more than others. But so when I read through Deuteronomy, I guess I just sort of have this negative feeling about Deuteronomy. I don't know how you are when you're reading Leviticus or Deuteronomy, and that's just where you are in your Bible reading. You're just like, all right, let me pull up by my bootstraps, and we're going to get through it, you know. And so I just kind of had that attitude coming to prepare for the messages, and I'm ashamed to say that, really, but this has been a pleasant surprise, a blessing, and timely, because God has given us in the book of Deuteronomy, of all places, the messages that we have needed as a church family and a church with families. All those kids that sing on Sunday mornings before Sunday school, God has given us an influence with a lot of children. And so we need to be prepared and equipped to raise our families and to be the families that God wants us to be. So tonight, we're going to talk about spiritual lessons for a godly home. Now, if you want to have a godly home, then there are things that need to be topics in the home. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what needs to be talked about in our homes. Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 20, and we'll read to verse 25. Moses said, here in verse 20, "And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" And don't you know our children are going to ask, "What meanest all of these things?" "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always." Oh, I love that phrase. "For our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." Father, we pray your help as we seek to honor you and your word. Touch our hearts. We need to hear from you. And I know that you have a message for us. So if there's a need of encouragement tonight, I pray you'd give it. If there's a need of conviction tonight, I pray you'd do that. I pray you'd touch hearts tonight. And whatever is needed, I pray that it would be there. And Lord, I pray for those of us that are here that perhaps are distracted or discouraged or even maybe even a touch of rebellion there. Just arms folded and not really wanting to do this. I pray that you'd even work in the hearts of those that are struggling in that way to soften and to see how, really, just how amazing it is to serve you. We'll give you glory for what you do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. I wish I could give you a magical formula and just sprinkle you with some kind of a pixie dust, and then you would suddenly become the perfect mom. You want to be the perfect mom? Sprinkle some dust on you, and there you go. You have this aura about you. You're like, oh, right. Or maybe to be the perfect dad, we would just have this little thing that we did, and it would all be good. But it doesn't work like that. I mean, if it did, then, you know, we would have to open up a shop and have a little business, but it doesn't quite work that way. Growing up, unfortunately, I have seen through the years, growing up and then through the years of ministry, I have, seen young people who had so much potential. Isn't it frustrating? How about on the football field and you see a guy that's just loaded with talent? He's like, he's just huge. And you're thinking, man, this guy could be in the pros. He's so big and just so gifted and so talented, but he's lazy. Or he won't work. You know, he won't really put the effort in there. And it's frustrating because you see the potential, but then you see the squandering of the potential. Now, in relationship to the ministry or in the relationship to the lives of young people being raised, we go to Bible college, didn't we, Brother Chad? And we start off, and there, I don't know how many were in your class, but we had 125 in our freshman class. Was yours more than that? Do you remember? No, you don't remember. None of you weren't friends with anybody, so. No, I'm joking. So we have this large number of people that are in our class. I mean, our college isn't a big college, a small college, but you know, all of these men, generally speaking, come to school. I'm talking about men. I'm just on the other side with the ladies, and you know, I don't know how many were on that side, but with the men, they were coming to school and they're saying, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a missionary, I want to be in the ministry, I want to be a youth pastor, I want to serve God with my life. And then from my freshman year, going into my second or sophomore year of college, I mean, it dropped down to the 70s. A whole bunch of guys didn't come back. And I wonder what, you know, I wondered, why did that happen? I mean, some of these guys were my friends, and I reach out to them, and just wanting to know, some of them went off into sin, some of them just, you know, they just changed the direction that they wanted to go in their life, which is fine if God's moving and changing things. He can do that. But it dawned on me that, you know, not everybody who ventures out to do certain things are always going to end up where, you know, they want to end up, or maybe where they desire to end up. You know, and so I wondered what is the formula of getting our kids to a place where not only they say, I want to serve God, but that they'll maintain that. They'll follow through, and they'll not just go to school and then have the commitment there, but then fall off. I don't want that. I don't want any of those kinds of things. But again, there's not a magical formula. I know of a young man, even now, who I went to his house as a, I think I would have been in like seventh grade. We're getting ready to go to church camp. And I was a bus kid, and this guy was not a bus kid. His mom and dad were faithful to church. They were in Sunday school classes as teachers, and he was my, this young man was my age, so I spent the night at his house on Sunday night, because the bus to go to church camp was going to leave some crazy early in the morning, and my dad was like, I'm not taking you at that early, you know. So I spent the night with them, and you know, it was such a special moment in time, like for me, but also for them, that they're still members at Southwest in Oklahoma City. When I visit, they still remember that night all those years ago when I spent the night at their house. And they see from then as a bus kid where I am now, and they're just, it blesses them. But here's the sad thing, is that boy that was my friend and their son, he is out of church. He has no interest in serving God. And as a matter of fact, he has become a self-proclaimed atheist. So you have somebody over here who had great potential and opportunity, and then you had somebody over here, not that I had, you know, didn't have great opportunity, I actually did have good opportunity, but different kinds of opportunity, because my mom and my dad were not in church. I was riding the bus to go to church. And then along the way, I made decisions to go one way, and he made decisions to go the other way. Was it the mom and the dad's fault that he decided that? Not necessarily. Was it, well, if you want to have a child that'll be a pastor someday, then just send him on the church bus. Is that the answer? No. I mean, the point is that, you know, there are things that we can do. There are things that we can do as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpa and pastor and deacon and ministers of children, Sunday school teachers. All of us, by the way, are contributing to the ministry of our children just by being here and being an example and living the life so that it reflects Christianity to the next generation. Did you know you bless the kids just by being here? Did you know you affect the lives of these young people just by how you live your life out there in this world? And so it isn't just moms and dads and pastors that have this effect. It's all of us. And God wants to use us to impact this next generation and these young people, and we are doing that. But I think we all need to understand something about this process. That at some point, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'll probably say this several times in the months and years to come. But at some point, our children are going to need to make a decision on their own that I'm going to serve God. I'm not just going to be here because I'm supposed to be here. I'm not just going to go through the motions and do the do's and don't do the don'ts because that's what I'm supposed to do or because mom and dad make me be here. No. At some point, our children need to make a decision. I'm going to do this because I know this is what God wants me to do. So how can we, that's what we want for our children. And what we need to do is put them in a position so that they can make a choice to go in the right direction. If you become a bulldozer mom and dad, then that's not necessarily going to help the whole situation. What's a bulldozer? I mean, push, 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 push. How about a pulling? I teased this afternoon. We were late for our men's ensemble practice, and I said, I was trying to get my boys ready, and it was like herding cats. You know, have you ever tried to herd cats? You get one and two of them together, and another one pops out. Not that I have a lot of experience with cats, but I understand that. You know, like tug of war. You ever feel like you're at tug of war with your children or with teenagers or with, you know, wanting to help, but, you know, become sort of a war or a tug of war match? That's, God doesn't want us to engage in a ministry where we're always at war with our kids. So bulldozer, mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, minister, Sunday school teacher, bulldozer ministry, tug of war ministry. How about this? How about that we would have enough faith that God can do it? How about you and me decide that if we just point our kids in the right way and live it ourselves, that God can do a work in them? And that's enough. It's hard, but it is enough. Our children need to be pointed in the right direction, and you and I are the ones who need to be pointing them in the right direction. It was crucial for Israel that the covenant values was passed on to their kids, and Moses had envisioned, and we studied it last time, he envisioned that as families that we would talk about the scriptures. Did you notice that we started sending out weekly verses? If you don't get the weekly memory verse, then you need to be plugged into our church texting thing. I don't know how all that works, but I pick the verses, and then Miss Cindy and Brother Chad take care of the technical stuff. But we're going to be sending, and I already have the verse for tomorrow picked out, and we're going to be studying it as a family. So we have three verses as a family, our family, memorized so far. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That's a good one. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. How many of you did that one? That's 9 words. I think we can handle it, right? The next one last week, that's 20 words. It was a little harder. Anybody can try it? Ethan, what is it? Did you notice that Brother McFarland referenced that verse in his sermon this morning? So we memorize these verses. Why do this? So we can talk about them throughout the day, throughout the week. We can reference them, and we're dealing with issues. Hey, you know what? You're going through a hard thing, but guess what? With God, nothing shall be impossible. So we can remember these things, and God can help us to reflect, to model our lives after His Word. Look at verse 7. This is so good. We're in chapter 6. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So you need to teach the Scriptures to your children, and then you need to talk about them as a family. Yeah. You bring up the Word of God, and you talk about it, and these things become a part of your daily lives, then it makes sense that the next logical thing is that your children are going to start asking questions about what you're talking about. They're going to ask questions about the ways of God. Did you know, I think sometimes we get frustrated, I do, with some of the questions. You know, they say your kids, depending on how many questions they ask, is how smart they're going to be down the road. My kids are going to be genius level, because I can't even begin to explain to you how many questions I get every day. So why? Or, you know, it's like, why do we do this? Why do that? Okay. No more questions, just statements. And then they try to, yeah, moms and dads with little kids, do that sometime. No more questions, only statements. They'll spend 5 minutes figuring out the difference between a statement and a question. They can't figure that out. Then they'll ask you a question thinking it's a statement. It's great. But anyway, so our kids are going to start asking questions about the things of God and about why do we need to go to church anyway? We need to have an answer to that. Or why do we sing songs like this? You know, we need to have an answer to that. Why do we need to read the Bible every day? Come on, Mom. And just, you know, my mom was like that. I know, not that dads aren't. I'm kind of like that as a dad, but my mom was all over me every day. Did you read your Bible today? I'm like, no. Mom. You know, so then I read the Bible, but had a big impact in my life. Thanks, Mom. You know. Verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies, statutes, judgment, and commandments? So what do these things mean? You know, what is all of this? And our kids are going to ask us that. We need to have an answer. 1 Peter 3, Peter said this. He said, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So it's good that we have an answer. It's not good that we say, in reference to the things of God, well, that's because I said so. Well, why do we do this? Because that's just what we do. You know, at some point, that's not going to be enough, is it? Well, that's just what we do. Did you know it's okay to say, I don't know? Why do we do this? I don't really know. But that's a tremendous question, and I'm going to figure it out. You don't want to leave it at, I don't know. Figure it out. You say, well, who do I ask? You can ask me. You can ask Brother Chad. If I don't know, then I'll figure it out. I'll tell you, I did Bible studies. I've done a lot of Bible studies, and I have had a lot of I don't know moments. But I've learned a lot because of that. You know, I've learned a lot about Catholic doctrine, false doctrine, really, and trying to understand so I can help somebody get through the questions that they have. And they see the contradictions, and they have questions, and so I look for the answers. Now, whenever you consider the questions and the answers and the need, the information and being faithful and all these things that our children need to see in our life, there are principles that need to be a part of what we are giving to our children regularly. And that's what he is talking about here. Okay, so look at verse 21. He says, then thou shalt say unto thy son. So in other words, in response to your children, they need to learn from us as a pattern to follow these principles. Not as bulldozers, not as tug of war, but we're going to show as a family in directing them and pointing them in God's direction these great lessons. And there's four of them. And so let me give them to you that way, 1 through 4. If you're taking notes, this might be a good thing for you to note. Number one, your kids need to learn this lesson. You sin because you are a sinner. Let me say that again. You sin because you are a sinner. Your children are a blessing. They need to be affirmed at home. They need to be encouraged at home. Amen. They need to find mercy at home. They don't need us yelling at them all the time. They need mercy. But at home, they need to learn that they're sinners. The Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. And look what he said in verse 21. And when thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. We were. This illustrates the power of sin over us before our salvation. Romans 6:17 says, for ye were the servants of sin before you got saved. Before salvation, we were bound by sin. Before salvation, you were the servant of sin, and your children need to understand why they mess up so much. Because sin is in them. And sin brings consequences. You know, what's the consequence of sin? Does any of you guys know the answer to that? What did Paul say in Romans? Death. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. So there's a consequence for sin. Our kids need to learn that. How is that illustrated, Pastor? Well, let me say it like this. The other day, I had got one of my kids got in trouble. It actually killed him. Thank you, Brother Chad. He goes, you know, we'll do that. I'm going to let everybody know what you're doing back there. No, I don't actually kill your kids. Don't even think about like doing that. So how can we, I was talking to one of my kids just the other day. In fact, he was in trouble and he needed to get correction. You know what that is code for? You need a spanking. Code's broken now, isn't it? correction. You need correction. And this is a bad one. You know, sometimes we just talk. Listen, sometimes we just talk. And I like, especially as they get older, I just, you know, let's see if we can talk about this and see if there can be a humble heart and we can repent. And we can get this right, learn from it, and just say, you know what? Man, I messed up. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sorry for my sin, and I want to get past this. But sometimes there has to be a correction. There needs to be a correction. And so then, just the other day, it happened. And after it was over, you know, there's a sting that takes place when you get a spanking. Isn't that true? A sting. We don't want to... Listen, we're not trying to injure our children or hurt them in that sense, but there's a sting. There's a pain that's connected to it. And you know what I said after that? I don't think I'll ever forget this. It might end up becoming a sermon all by itself. Here's what I said. I said, do you know why that hurts so much? You're like, no. And then I said this, because sin hurts. Sin hurts. And that's what our children need to learn. That they are a sinner. They sin because they are a sinner. They need to learn that. Sin hurts. Sin has consequences that are associated to it. But those consequences are also designed to help us understand that we sinned. Now, wait a second, Pastor. Are only kids the ones who get a spanking? No, I think us adults get them too, don't we? They just take on different form. You know, when they come from God, God can spank us too, can't he? Yeah, he gets our attention too, doesn't he? And so along the way, those kind of things come our way, and God wants us to understand something. We did this. We sinned. Do you know what our kids need to learn to stop doing? Blaming other people for their sins. You can spend your whole life pointing your finger at everybody else as being a problem and why you are where you are. But in the end, you're where you are because... And listen, sometimes circumstances bring us where we are, but when there's sin in our life, it's because we sinned. It's not because somebody else did or didn't do something in our life. Our children need to learn that. You sin because... Or wait, you're a sinner because you sinned. That's the first one. Okay, number two. Salvation is in Christ alone. I'm saying it this way because these are the ways that it needs to be taught to our children. You're a sinner because you sin. This is your sin. And the consequences are because you sin. But salvation, you're not going to get it anywhere but Jesus. It's in Him alone. Okay, so God miraculously delivered the Israelites and judged the Egyptians. Look at verse 21, the last part of that verse, into verse 22. And the Lord brought us out. I love that phrase, okay? The Lord brought us out. How did they get out of Egypt? Oh, you know, they carved up some swords and some armor and some bows and arrows and you know, they just did it. They just revolted against the Egyptians and just overthrew and conquered and got out of there. No, God did it. If God didn't get involved, they weren't getting out. You see? The Lord brought us out. It's there, out of Egypt, with a mighty hand. Verse 22, the Lord showed signs and wonders and great sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. Moses wasn't the deliverer. They didn't do it by the power of their own might. Deliverance was from God and in God alone. And salvation is the same way. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be in Christ. It's not going to be because you're in church, kids. It's not going to be because you're sitting in church right now. Listen, boys, you're not going to go to heaven, girls, not just boys, everybody. You're not just going to go to heaven someday because you're in church right now. If you want to go to heaven, you have to turn your heart to Christ. You're a sinner because you sinned. You want to be saved? Christ is your only hope. He's the only one who can save you from your sins. If you're not willing to turn, if you're relying on being a good boy, being a good kid, I second Brother Chad's blessing about these teens. We are blessed in this church to have these kids. And I'm not saying that they're better people than other teens in this town even. But we're blessed because these kids have decided to do the work of God. Do the work of God. But did you know that doing the work of God isn't going to mean you're saved? You're not going to go to heaven someday because you were a good kid. How many times, I'm not going to try to count, have I sat in my office and I've talked to people, not even just young people, but people who just can't embrace the harshness of the gospel. That God is exclusive. That God would send people to hell. You know, they don't understand. They don't understand they don't understand the first point that they're a sinner because they sin. They don't understand that. But that I need to turn to Christ alone, and I can't embrace, just being a good person is being good enough. And look at all these good people I know, and you're telling me they're not going to go to heaven because they're a good person? That's correct. That's what I'm telling you. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. You don't go to heaven because you gave money to the church. You're not going to go to heaven because you vacuumed the floors. You're not going to go to heaven because you played the piano or sang in the choir or worked in the sound booth. Sorry, Brother Josh, I kind of pointed you out there. But, you get the point, right? Mow the lawn. Anything that we might do around here, that's not salvation. It doesn't lead you to salvation. It's in Christ alone. Acts 4:12 said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than Him alone. He brought you out of bondage. And it will, if you're going to come out of bondage, rather, it's going to be in Christ alone. So our children need to learn that. So moms and dads, that needs to be a theme of our home. Your kids are sinners because they sin. And they also need to understand if they're going to have freedom in their life, either whether through salvation or living the life that God wants them to live, it's going to be because of Christ. Deny myself and turn my heart to Christ. Deny myself, turn my heart to Christ. And He'll make you into what He wants you to be. There's no other way. So spiritual lessons our kids need to learn. Number one, you're a sinner because you sin. Salvation. Number two, salvation is in Christ alone. Number three, I love this one. God is faithful to His promises. That's a lesson our kids need to learn. God is faithful to His promises. God had promised Abraham that He would make him a great nation all the way back in Genesis. Look at verse 23 of our passage. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us, I want you to see this word, okay? To give us a land which He sware unto our fathers. So here's what God did. God brought us out of Egypt, and He brought us into the promised land, and He did all of this because He promised that He was going to do it. What's that mean? It means that God keeps His promises. It means that you can trust God. Our kids need to learn that they can trust God as they make decisions in life, that they can trust that God's going to keep His promises. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye, the kids sang it this morning, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Isn't that a good song? And His right? How about we decide to live it? No, look up here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto thee. God will take care of the rest. So who do we seek first? We seek Him first. And then all the peripherals, God says, I'll take care of that. What a blessing. Camp's coming. I think sometimes, you know, there's a struggle. Yeah, I think we've been really blessed with the fundraisers we've been doing, but sometimes there's a struggle like, are we going to have enough money to do this? Money becomes an issue and a worry, sort of a stress. God's going to provide. One day you'll be in college, God willing, serving God, and you need to pay the school bill. I remember when I was in college, there was those times when the school bill was needed to, I needed to make payment, and I wondered, God provided. We're in the ministry now. How are we going to get through? God's going to provide. You know, so we started learning at a young age, didn't we? As kids, or at least that's what it should be. God keeps His promises. How neat would it be if you learned that God keeps His promises when you were young? So that if you just put God first, that all through your life, here's what you'll watch. I don't know how this is going to work out, but I trust God, and then He provides. And you're like, whoa, God did just what He said He was going to do. And what does that do for our faith? It makes us stronger, doesn't it? And so then He leads us to something maybe a little bit bigger. You're like, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. And we move forward, and then God provides. I'm like, whoa, oh, man, look what God did. This is amazing. And then our faith grows a little bit more. So then now, let's say that we, as a child, we're learning to trust God that He's going to provide. And it's going to be okay, because God keeps His promises. And you learn that at this age, at a young age. And you start living your life that way, so that you're going through life and you're just trusting God. You're like, okay, look at all these things God's done. He's never failed me. He's never not kept His promise. So I'm decision after decision after decision, as the Lord would lead. I can do what God wants me to do, because He's going to take care of it. And all the worries and all the things that cause us to say, I don't know if God's way is going to work. I don't know if God's way is going to, you know, if it's really going to work out. I mean, there's a lot of variables here. God's way seems like, I just don't know. We take steps of faith, and then God provides. Because He always provides. He always keeps His promises. Now, you got to be sure that you're moving in step with God. Don't make a decision and then throw God into it. Let's let God direct us. And then you take that step, and then God does it. And then as you get older, then now it's just, God, I know this is a tough thing right now, but You've always kept Your promise. And so I just know You're going to keep Your promise. And we can just sleep at night, and we don't worry. You know what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9? Here's what he said. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing. He says, standing on the promises of God. Let me give you the next verse. Actually, the last verse in that song. It says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail. Why? Because I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm not standing on something that's like quicksand. I'm standing on the promises of God. Our children need to learn that from us, that they can trust the promises of God, they can stand on the promises of God, and God will not fail you. This looks good, the world looks good, the things out there look good, but they'll fail you. God will not fail you. God is faithful. He will always keep His promises. Spiritual lessons that our children need to learn. You sin because you are a sinner. Number two, salvation is in Christ alone. And number three, God is faithful to His promises. And last, oh, I love this one. Following God, our kids need to learn this. Following God is the best. I mean, I could have said that different, but I like that. Following God's the best. God wanted the best for Israel. Following God was the best. So God gave His word in the form of decrees. Did you know, I mean, that's what command... Look at verse 24. The Lord commanded us. So there's these commandments, these decrees that are made, given by God to His people. Why would He do that? Moms, dads, why do you have rules in your house? Well, because you're mean. No. Because you love your kids. And you want to protect them. But why? Because you want what's best for them. And so there's rules. God says, I'm going to give you commandments. I'm not going to give you the 10 suggestions. I'm going to give you the commandments. I have commandments for you. Why? Because I want to bless you. If you ignore my word, if you decide I'm going to go my own way, I don't need God's way, the world's way is good enough for me, I can do it on my own, I have my own sort of way of figuring this out, and I've done pretty good so far, and we sort of justify all of our bad choices, or at least denying the ways of God, because we just think things are going to work out. The problem is we deny the blessings of God. If we follow the Lord, if we follow His in obedience, the leadership as He guides us in our life. Listen, moms and dads, we point our kids. Our children need to make decisions to follow God. You know what they'll find every step they take towards God? Kids, every time you take a step towards God, you know what you'll find? Wow, this is the best. I mean, I thought that was pretty good, but this is better. As a matter of fact, this is the best. Did you know there's no life that I could have picked that would have been better than this one? No life. The moment I surrendered my life to God, I picked the best life. Following God is the best. Look at verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God. Now look at this phrase, for our good always. For our good always. It's not like He just said for our good. He said for our good always. He wants us to have the best life. Can I tell you, listen, girls, look. Following God's the best. Did you know that's not manipulation? I'm not manipulating you by saying that. Guys, following God, all that stuff, that's all the peripherals you're dealing with in your teen life. So it's cool, you have the other friends, you have all that other stuff that's out there that maybe pulls you away from God and says, oh, this is better than that, you know. I'm not manipulating you by telling you that following God is the best. Why? Because it's true. It's true. Following God is the best. And I want my kids to learn that. The best way they can learn that, though, is by doing it, right? You know why camp's so awesome? How many of you have been to camp and you would agree by saying, amen, camp is awesome? Amen. Yeah, and a lot of hands, too. You know why? Because whenever you go to camp, you're kind of forced into this atmosphere where you just have to follow God. Like, if you wanted to distract yourself with cell phone stuff, you couldn't. Because there's no cell phone coverage. I mean, I guess there are silly games on our phone that we could do without, but... I mean, listen, you are in the context of hearing from God and following God. And do you know what happens every day of camp? It just gets better. Like, you go on Monday and you're like, ooh, this is good. And then Tuesday, you're like, oh man, this is good. And then Wednesday, you're like, I don't want to go home. And then Thursday, you're just like, can we do this next week? You know. Why? Because every day you're realizing how good it is to serve God. Did you know that truly following God is the best? And the only way I can convince you of that is if you just do it. And then you'll know. So the songwriter, I mean, we have some amazing songs in our songbook. Listen to this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Now listen to this, the chorus. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground, sinking sand. And then he said it again, just in case you missed it. All other ground. How much? All other ground, sinking sand. Following God's the best, all other ground is sinking sand. Moses understood this. The one who wrote this great passage here, he'd already lived it. Remember whenever he was young and he was in the care of Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter, and he grew up in that atmosphere, and he was one of the family of Pharaoh. I mean, he was wealthy, he had it all. Listen to what is reported to him as he says, you know what, I had everything. You say, well, I know what would be better than serving God if I had $1 billion, and then I could do anything, and I could just build my own whatever and have my own all this stuff, and then I could just do all this all day for the rest of my life. Moses had it. He gave it all up. You know why? Well, let me just tell you what he said. Don't turn there, but in Hebrews 11, here's what he said. By faith, or in Paul speaking of Moses, by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, refused it, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And then he said this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. What does that mean? He meant, here's what it means. Following God's the best. You have all the money. Following God's better than that. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Our kids need to learn that. You know, our kids need to learn all of these principles from us, but we need to live it ourselves. We need to understand that we sin. Why are we sinners? Because we sin. And that means you need to get on your knees, moms and dads. You need to teach your kids to get on their knees, but you need to get on your knees. They need to see you saying, I'm a sinner. They need to see you saying, I did this. And with God's help, because by the way, you want salvation, you want to be on the right path, it's in Christ, it's in Him alone. And we're going to turn our hearts to Him. And we're going to follow Him. God will help me to do that. And I'll be that example so I can watch. Ooh, we can't make our kids do this, but we can point them in the right direction. And we can live this ourselves. So we're a sinner because we sin. Following Christ, Christ is our only hope. He's the only way that we can have salvation. God is faithful to His promises. And then following God is the best. Let me give you some statements before we're done tonight. Take responsibility for your sins. Our children need to learn that, and they need to learn it from us. Turn your heart to Christ. So, well, I'm a good person, Pastor. Have you turned your heart to Christ? You remember the day? That it wasn't outward action or ceremony, but it was an inward thing that God touched you and you knew you needed to be saved. And you turned your heart to Him. Stand on the promises of God. We want our kids to trust God and believe His promises, but we need to. There's no life better than following God. So a few questions. Have you failed to emphasize to your children that their sins are because they are a sinner? Have you failed to point them to Christ consistently? Have you struggled to teach your children that God will always keep His promises? Have you explained to your children that there's not a life better than following God? There's not a life better than following God. There's not a magical formula. There's not pixie dust. This is it. We've got to teach them. Father, tonight, we thank You that we were able to open Your Word and study these truths. And Lord, what a blessing Deuteronomy has been to us as a church and as families. And Lord, as we begin to, in a practical way, in our homes on a daily basis, teach our children, at the least, these principles. Lord, I'm certain that you'll begin to do a work in them, increasing their faith. And so it might be that tonight there's some who need to just come and make some decisions for you. There's some moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, others that have influence in the children that need to reflect on these principles and begin to apply them in their home and in their ministries. And then, Lord, for those that perhaps know that these things are true, but are struggling to live them out in their own life, God, would you increase our faith, please, that we might live for you and be the example to the next generation that we must be. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name.